I don't think it can be repeated enough. We're not doctors. I generally assume, and you've heard me say this, good intentions and superior knowledge when it comes to coaches, general managers, president of operations, whatever they're called, and trainers. I assume that everybody wants the best for the player. Everybody wants the best for the team. And I assume that they have more knowledge, not just educational knowledge, but knowledge of the individual player and the individual situation. I just assume that. And I think you have to assume that when you look at something like this. But this is what we know. We know that a lot of former players disagreed with the decision to play. We know that Steve Kerr, and this is a quote from Steve Kerr before the game, "I'm going to start him and play him in short bursts and see how he responds physically, see if his wind is okay. And as the game goes on, we'll try to figure it out from there." Kevin Durant played all but a couple of seconds of the first quarter. That ain't a short burst, not where I'm coming from. He played 9 minutes and 43 seconds of the first quarter. I don't consider that to be a short burst. He was awfully good. And as Leo Rauten said, he was engaged in the game. He had two personal fouls. He wasn't just standing on the outside as a decoy and jacking up three-point shots, although he made those three-point shots. He was engaged in the game. He was doing all the heavy lifting type stuff you need to do if you're Kevin Durant in an NBA game. And beyond that, as I said, I made this point. If you hurt yourself in the second game of the series and you're questionable for game three and you're getting a little better, but you're still questionable for game four, and then you're good to go in game five, okay, I can see that. I do not understand what could possibly have happened between game four and game five after Kevin Durant's been out for a month or however long he's been out that would have made his situation any better. Jeff Stotts is a certified athletic trainer. He's founder and operator of InStreetClothes.com. It is an NBA injury database and used by various outlets. And Jeff Stotts joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. I just made a couple of those points before I got to you. Anything wrong with anything I said? And kind of walk me through what you would think would have gone on. Well, first of all, it's an Achilles injury. That's all we know. Tell us about the nature of Achilles injuries.
Well, everything you said, I do feel that was correct, was dead on. You know, there are a lot of factors going into play, and I think trying to paint a picture that there was one thing that caused this is tough to do. I mean, there's a lot of variables in play here. The Achilles injury, you saw it last night. He loads that calf. He instantly kind of goes down knowing something's wrong. You see him kind of reach back right at the base of that calf, that Achilles. They help him off the court, and then likely back behind closed doors, they do what they call the Thompson test, where they basically give the calf a little squeeze, see if the Achilles responds, and if the foot points down, generally that means the Achilles intact. Maybe there's a degree or a partial tear, but we've got to figure out what's going on. If there is no movement, that's a pretty good indication of a rupture, and you know that it's a rupture, and basically all you're doing at that point is going to get an MRI for confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot in play here. Like I said, I don't want to remove the human element of it, and that I just feel awful for Durant. You know, the guy wanted to be out there. For anybody questioning his heart, that's everything we've ever known about this guy, is that he loves basketball and wants to be out there playing. And for him to suffer a potential injury of this magnitude that we don't know specifics, it's unfortunate for basketball fans everywhere.
Hey, Jeff,
Go ahead. Because if it is what they are expecting it's going to be, he's going to be out a significant amount of time. And then that's unfortunate. And to have a guy entering his prime and not be able to play is unfortunate.
We know that he was out, or at least we're told that he was out originally with a calf injury. Explain the physiology of this to me, if physiology is the right word. Could you injure an Achilles compensating for a lingering calf issue? Or, you know, if you could maybe explain to me how the two work together.
Sure. So the calf itself is actually a muscle complex. It's multiple muscles. The two-headed gastrocnemius and the soleus, those muscles work together and have a conjoined tendon, which is the Achilles. So we know he had an initial calf injury. We don't know where that was. That's the big kind of question mark for me in regarding so much of the everything that's happened afterwards, whether it's return to play protocol, the length of that he's missed up to this point in the secondary injury, because we don't know where the initial strain was and to what degree. They suggested it was minor, but given the amount of time that he's missed, it sounds like it's closer to a partial tear or grade 2 strain. But we still don't know where that was. The strain could be in the muscle belly of the calf. It could be in the tendon itself. It could be in the musculotendinal junction between those two areas. So we don't know exactly what happened the first time around, which can influence things. What we do know is the calf, the Achilles, these are two joint muscles. The calf works at both the knee and the foot, making it a very complex muscle. It works in conjunction with the hamstrings further up the leg, and then the quadricep on the opposite side of the leg for fluid motion, especially start-stop motion. And if you can imagine these three things like a chain, if one of these links in the chain is weakened, it puts undue stress on the other areas of the chain. And so if there is still some limitation in that muscle, you run the risk of re-injury. It was going to be there. One of the biggest factors we look at in terms of re-injury rates or reoccurrence rates is previous injury history. So there is some potential risk no matter what he did for some kind of re-injury. It just depends on what degree of risk was that. And it was one that appears to have been everybody addressed was okay. And that's back to what we talk about now, the weight of the game. I mean, how many times during a regular season do you hear a coach or a general manager say, well, if it had been the playoffs, he would have been out there? Mm-hmm. Does that mean you change your return to play protocol based on the significance of the game? You would hope not, because the focus is supposed to be on the player itself and the overall health of the player. And so, but the truth of the matter is, it was a elimination game in the NBA Finals, and you know, he wanted to be out there. So hopefully he completed some of the protocol, if not all of the protocol, and unfortunately, a re-injury did occur.
You know, and again, we're dealing with, you know, every organization probably has different standards. But, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking, one of the stories that doesn't get or the things that don't necessarily get discussed all that much is sort of the politics of player injuries. And, I mean, I've covered baseball. I covered baseball since the late 80s. And I can remember when, Dr. Arthur Pappas, who was the Boston Red Sox chief orthopedic specialist, was a part owner of the team. And you know, we've gone away from that now, where the team doctor, who certainly you'd have to say is split loyalties, and quite frankly, the loyalties are only split if the team doctor necessarily liked you. I mean, I think there are more fail-safe things built into the situation now. But, I mean, I'll ask you, Jeff, at the end of the day, you know, KD says, man, I can't go. Is that where it ends? Or who would have the final say on it? I mean, collaborative is one thing, but there's always somebody at the top of anything that's collaborative.
They're always the end all be all should be the player. If the player does not feel comfortable and not ready to go, he should not go. I mean, that's my approach with the athletes I work with. You know, nobody knows their body like they do in terms of just feel and flow and those kinds of things. And you saw some clips of Durant actually looking and moving pretty fluidly. Even his first quarter, like you discussed, he wasn't a dummy out there. He was hitting shots. He had a block. He had some fouls. He was clearly playing aggressively. And that aggressive approach ultimately is where that calf or the Achilles failed when he makes that step. That's not just him being a spot up shooter. It's the ball coming and through him and playing through him. So, you know, it's like I said, it's unfortunate. But I don't know any of the direct discussion that was had behind the scenes. But you would think Durant was said, yes, I feel like I'm ready to go. You know, you would hope that he had said, let's do this. I'm ready to go. I want to help my team. I want to be out there with the guys. This is the season on the line. This is the championship at the line. And hopefully that's where we were.